This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by the contender, the game of presidential debate. Now, I heard some people had a little bit of confusion, so let me just go ahead and help y'all out. If you want to get the 2016 expansion, which I do very much suggest you do, just go to thecontender.us. I'm going to show y'all how to do it. There's going to be a big pop-up that says, get the newest expansion pack 2016 available for pre-order. You click on it. Now, you might be confused because it says unavailable, right? But it also says 26 pack expansion pre-order today. That's because right below it, in a red font that we should probably make a little bit larger, we have pre-order the 2016 expansion pack now. You just click on that, and that brings you to where you need to be to pre-order this product. It's 100 cards. All right. This is the biggest expansion we've ever done. And it features quotes from Bernie Sanders, Marco Rubio, Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, Martin O'Malley, and of course, Lincoln Chafee. We just did the final approvals on them. And man, I love this deck. I love this expansion. It's so much fun. Go ahead and get it. TheContender.us. And of course, with all contender products, if you put the diamond that is less than, greater than the brackets in your order, I'll sign anything, all right? You can go ahead and get a signature from me at thecontender.us. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/JURY, if you want to support the show. Guys, we've been having a great time here. We are at now over 610. We only need $89 more dollars, and we have ourselves the In Your House Tour, the first ever In Your House Tour, and I had a call-in show. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You guys have been so supportive, and I very, very, very much appreciate it. Just head on over there to patreon.com/JURY if you would like to support not only this program, but also my politics program, Politics, 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 that records on Fridays. But speaking of shows, what do you say we go ahead and get this one started? Gentlemen, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young here. Oh, son of a paralegal, coming to you from the windy shores of Lake Merritt, Oakland, California. Welcome to the Dog and Pony Show. I will be your concierge, your host, your masseur, your tour guide through the mind of the gerbs. It's me. Hi. So this one is going to be a little bit of an odd episode because we've had some technical difficulties here in the studio. We had a bit of a hard drive crash out, and we are building things back up, and everything's pretty much good to go, except for the fact that you might have noticed, if you're a Politics, Politics, Politics listener, in the middle of my politics stream and podcast, all of a sudden, we started to get all these problems with the audio. The audio driver apparently has been finicky. We are isolating and isolating and isolating. But what that means for this particular episode of the show is I'm flying blind. I do not have a chat room. Normally in the YouTube, you can see a chat room below me. Now, if you've only ever listened on podcasts, then this is going to be fine, right? We're doing the same thing that we ever did. It's all good in the hood. And to be honest, I've never really, since I've gotten decent at this one mic thing, you're too busy trying to make eye contact with the camera and try to run everything else technically, that I don't really look at the chat room at all much, you know, here and again when I'm in the middle of stuff, but not a ton. So this is going to be odd. This is going to be something that I am not used to, and if I sound off my game, that's what it is. But we are going to do our best to soldier on and have a good time. You want to know what? Even if this show completely fell apart, and I'm talking about just, you know, Chris Farley during Tommy Boy when he's, you know, new guy's puking his guts out. Old head has got a cigar in his mouth saying, oh, my God. Like if it was that level of disaster, that level of embarrassment, that level of shame, at least I still wouldn't feel as bad as Jay-Z. For those of you who are unfamiliar, there was a pop culture tsunami for which washed upon the shores of our hearts and minds last night, and that was the rollout of Beyoncé's new album, Lemonade. Now, let me just give you guys a rundown. I am not a fan of Beyoncé. Like, not like I'm not a fan of her. I can jam to a good Beyoncé song here and again. It's just not necessarily on the top five list of things I want to listen to right now, well, ever. Right? It's not like I've ever said, oh, man, I really want to listen to that new Beyoncé. Like I'm at my friend's house. Oh, yo, put on that new Beyoncé, though. Just not something that's ever come out of my mouth. Ain't nothing personal. That's just how it is. However, I was intrigued by the fact that in a world where people seem to be scurrying to find out how to survive in a post-gatekeeper media economy, meaning like the way to win at pop culture is no longer just get priority at one of the major record labels, get on MTV, you know, now there's all these new ways to do things. There's all these new, you know, the places that sell the most records, like Spotify, iTunes, stuff like that, they are very committed to being platform agnostic. Not like record. I mean, and meanwhile, record companies are more and more irrelevant. So I was very excited to see Beyoncé do something different. What she did last time in releasing a self-titled album was to just drop it all on iTunes. Literally no hype. Let the hype around the fact that she had no hype be all the hype that she needed. This time she wanted to announce herself. She wanted to really, really make a big splash. And so what she did was got a bunch of really, really talented music video directors together and made herself a cohesive hour-long film that included all the songs from her album. Now, this is fairly unremarkable, not to mention something that you could imagine a lot of different performers doing. If Katy Perry said, oh, yeah, I made a little movie based on all the songs that I did. If Sia said, yeah, I made a little movie based on all the songs that I did. If Green Day decided to do a movie version of some of their more operatic albums, concept albums, then you would say, all right, it makes sense. So why did the Beyoncé Lemonade thing take off the way that it did? Why did it completely envelop Twitter? Why is it front page news this morning? I'll tell you why. And the answers, as you might imagine, lie where I find many of the answers to life, the universe, and everything within the professional wrestling ring. Oh, Justin. Oh, Justin, everything has to do with wrestling for you. Yes, it does. Because I am going to let you know that Beyoncé dropped the pipe bomb of albums last night. She gave us what is known in the carny-infused culture of professional wrestling, a worked shoot. In the business of wrestling, as I, as a passionate fan, have sussed out by way of interviews, there are things called works and there are things called shoots. Works are when you are acting, you are pretending, you are saying things that further the storyline that has very little bearing upon who you are personally. A shoot is the opposite. A shoot is when you are saying or doing exactly what you personally mean, oftentimes to the detriment, or at least without care for, the larger overall storyline. A worked shoot is something in the middle. It is indeed there to further the storyline. However, it is also from your real life. It is also something that for one fleeting second, in all the gossamer fakery that is show business, you believe you've seen something real. This is like when an actor who has drug problems does a great job playing a character who has drug problems. You feel more connected to that because you feel like, oh my God, this person is working things out personally on screen for my benefit. They are using their craft to make this more real. And we saw it last night with Beyoncé, because this album, Lemonade, well, it's about marital strife. It's about being cheated on. It's about a serial liar and a cheater and the wife that has to work through her oftentimes angry and vengeful feelings because the husband won't stop. All right. Well, I mean, how many times have we seen that as a motif in music? You know, everybody wasn't running up on Carrie Underwood and whoever she was dating or married to and saying, you know, hey, did she really smash out both your headlights? And have you indeed thought next before you cheat? We know that that's show business. Except that over the last year, Beyoncé and her husband, Jay-Z, have been fraught with rumors about marital strife. In fact, there was a clip for which went viral of Beyoncé's younger sister, Solange, taking physical action against Jay-Z. It was caught on an elevator camera while they were at some big public gallery. That became big news. It was widely reported that Beyoncé and Jay-Z, while they were on tour together, were on the verge of getting divorced because they just couldn't stand each other. They were going through a violent, messy, emotional period. And now, 6 months later, with very little context, it's not like there were rumors out there that Beyoncé was working on something that might involve some real life stuff. Everything hit at once. Everything hit with full force at once. No warning. And it starts angry. angry. She's bashing, you know, windows out of cars. And more specifically, more to the point, in one of the songs, she screams, "If you do that again, you're going to lose your wife," and throws her wedding ring at the camera. In another song, she makes the point that she's not there, so you better call the Becky with the good hair. Now, I am here to say that this is delicious. This is tantalizing. This is exactly how I felt when I first saw a promo from a man named CM Punk. Because CM Punk delivered, I guess it was now 5 years ago, what is considered to be the best promo or speech that wrestlers give in the modern era. It started out very much like any other ending to a WWE Raw. He goes, interferes in a match. He's the bad guy. He grabs a mic. He sits down at the top of the stage, and he then lists out a laundry list of complaints against the company and says he's going to quit. Okay, well, I mean, like, wrestlers have done that forever. Except he mentions other promotions. Promotions that WWE never mentions and makes a point to never mention. He mentions fired wrestlers who are his friends. Something that WWE strictly forbids its talent from doing. It is a worked shoot. Now, to this day, CM Punk will tell anybody that he was legitimately going to quit. But I think that's just there to heighten everything up. The fact that it fed into an angle and he did leave the company, quote unquote, and then wound up coming back a few weeks later is pretty much all you need to know. Now, I'm not here to say whether or not Jay-Z and Beyonce are indeed in some kind of rough trouble. Because by the end of this little movie, Jay-Z factors in a couple times. Cuddling with Beyonce in one of the more forgiving love songs, and then there's a lot of footage of him running around with their daughter, Blue Ivy. But I am saying without a doubt is whether or not this pain is real or imagined, this has been packaged and sold to us like the best worked shoot in music. And here's how you know that this is the best worked shoot in music. It's because just like the CM Punk promo, just like the pipe bomb, it has inspired real life drama. It was real enough for everybody to believe it, get their emotions up to a ratcheted point, and then create their own momentum. Case in point, one of the ladies that was rumored to have been sleeping with Jay-Z is named Rachel Roy. Rachel Roy apparently watched this video and said, "Oh, I guess I'm the Becky with the good hair." So she goes on Instagram and says, "Good hair, don't care. I'm living a non-drama lifestyle," or something. Okay, sure. Then why'd you post it on Instagram, lady? Therefore, seemingly to at least those who are passionate and snooping around on this online to be a declaration that she is indeed Becky with the good hair, which now all of a sudden causes a bunch of people to pile on her, which now makes her come back and say, I'm being bullied, which now creates an entire self-sufficient story that is outside of the story that may or may not be totally real. Because we are looking for confirmation. We want desperately to know whether or not Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce. We want desperately to know how much of what CM Punk said about his employer in the WWE was true. And we will gladly pay for the privilege, which is why I salute Beyonce on this very show, because I believe she has worked every single one of us. More in a second. So one more note about the Beyonce Jay-Z thing is her album went up for streaming immediately on Tidal. Tidal is Jay-Z's partly owned, he partly owns the streaming service. Kanye's album first went up on there and then eventually made its way to others. So understand, let's instead of me going with my, hey man, you're getting worked, bro, you know, smart nonsense, let's go ahead and play into the most fun scenario. Let's say that Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce a bunch of times, and now this is, for whatever agreement they have worked out within their relationship, the penance for which he has to pay. He's got to watch as she makes a big, gigantic album, one that, with the quality of what it is and the attention that it is going to get in a world where music does not get a lot of attention, is probably going to get, if not high consideration for album of the year, it will be the prohibitive favorite for album of the year when the Grammys come out. So this is going to be a year long of having to hear about it. But that album is exclusive to Tidal. So Jay-Z effectively has to get murdered on wax rhapsodically by his wife and mother of his children for the benefit of his struggling streaming service. Oh, that's great. That's great. That, my friends, is high drama. That, my friends, is empire. That, my friends, is why we like to watch the chattering, glamorous class. Speaking of glamour, there's a video that goes up. I'm not really, in general, a lot about hating on people on this show. I don't find a lot of criticism necessarily productive. But there's a video that I saw that I'm just, man, I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd. Trying real hard. Can't. Tried. Can't. Tried real hard. Can't. I'm just going to show it. I mean, I just have to show you what it is. It's by a young lady. Her name is Alexis Bloomer. And I believe she is a...
If you guys have anyone on social media like I do,
that's
over the age of 40, you've probably seen them post at some point about how much our generation sucks. Well, as a millennial, I took it upon myself to try to evaluate.
Oh, by the way, the video is called Dear Elders, I'm Sorry. Dear Elders, I'm Sorry. Here she is. She's in a car. Seems like she pulled over somewhere. And she is she's looking great. Man, Alexa's looking just fantastic. Here, Here's her point.
Wait, what's so wrong with our generation and why they're so mad at us? And then I pretty much realized that we're just existing. We're not really contributing anything to society. Our generation doesn't have the basic manners that include no ma'am and yes ma'am.
Okay. So why do old people hate millennials? Why do old people hate millennials? Huh. Because, you know, I mean, Alexa, I mean, like, far be it from me. Far be it. No, not you, Alexa. Stop it. Alexa, my echo turned on. Thank you. Alexis, you want to know why? Yeah, you want to know what? Keep going. I'll tell you why in a second.
We're open for ladies, much less our elders anymore. We listen to really obscene music that degrades women and pretty much glorifies drugs and crime.
Okay. Now I'm actually going to have just a bit of a generational problem with this, because what she is saying is we listen to music that glorifies the degradation of women and drugs and crime. So when did this start exactly? Because I'm going to make this argument. I believe that the music that is being released now is way more socially conscious about doing good for the world, or at the very least frivolous on a level that it was not in the 90s, it wasn't in the 2000s, and it wasn't certainly in the 80s, 70s, and 60s. I mean, you want drugs? You want drugs? Look to the 60s and 70s. Look to the 80s if you want materialism. You want misogyny, violence? Look to the 90s. The 2000s were basically everything that we just talked about before, but with auto-tune. Now, your top hip-hop act is Kendrick Lamar. Like, sure, there's still elements of gangster rap there, but there is more introspection in mainstream music than there has ever been. You know, Beyonce's the number one album in the country right now, who basically just went on an entire treatise about feminism and gender stereotypes. So I reject that. I humbly refute that point.
We start to cuss now to prove a point. We use words like
fuck you,
bae, to describe someone we love.
Why is that wrong? Why can you not call somebody bae? What is wrong with slang? Slang has always existed. Like, sup, Holmes? Home fry. What would be better? What would be better? Why does she hate bae? What's wrong with bae? I'm asking you, Alexis. What's wrong with bae?
And we idolize people like Kim Kardashian, and then we shame people like Tim Tebow.
Okay, all right. We idolize people like Kim Kardashian, and we shame people like Tim Tebow. Let's start from the beginning of that sentence. We idolize people like Kim Kardashian. Now, certainly, Kim Kardashian is a popular person. She's on a popular television show. A lot of what she does makes a lot of noise. But with that comes a healthy amount of criticism. I mean, go ahead and check Kim Kardashian's Twitter posts. Go ahead and look what her Facebook comments look like. There are plenty of people who think that Kim Kardashian is a porn star, famous for nothing, a leech on culture and society. She is a absolute punchline. So much so that you felt safe to use her as a punchline in your thing. Like, you are the exact example. Like, she doesn't get off scot-free. It's not like Kim Kardashian's going to be elected president, right? Yet. Meanwhile, we disrespect people like Tim Tebow. Now, as far as I know, okay, as far as I can tell, in my estimation of pop culture, Tim Tebow has gotten significant criticism for one thing: his inability to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. He has been lauded as a college quarterback. He has been lauded as a college leader, despite the fact that he had a murderer in his team and another person who would later go on to say the N-word several times on camera. He has been lauded as a Christian. He's been lauded as an example for young people. And when his vigorously defended, although statistically subpar, NFL career came to an end, he was immediately whisked to a media, a seat at the media table, one where he will be there forever because he is so popular that people will tune in to just see him talk, no matter how good or bad he is at his job. Tim Tebow is among the more universally popular people in those fields. He is known by a subsection of the audience to be above reproach. So I have no idea what you're talking about when you say that we laud Kim Kardashian and we hate Tim Tebow. I'm sorry. Alexis, I apologize. Not you, Alexa. I apologize. I just don't get it. Maybe we'll just keep going.
Lazy. We're really entitled. And we want to make a lot of money and have free education, but we're not really willing to put in the work. We spend more time online making friends and less time actually building relationships. And our
I've never gotten this. I've never really understood this, like, that online friends are less than real friends. I feel like that's just always something that we look back and have rose-colored glasses on, you know, because it just is. It's so weird that what makes the random lottery of people who happen to live in the same place for, in any way more real than being able to connect with exactly who you want to online. Now, I'm not saying that there's not social pratfalls and pitfalls to being online and oversharing and reading into the wrong things and giving yourselves the wrong impression. Sure, but it's not like that's unique to being online. Yeah, the problems may be unique, but it's not like there were no problems to dealing with people in person. And if you think that there were no or less problems than in meeting people in person, then you obviously are not and don't know somebody with severe social anxiety. Remember your friend that you used to hang out with that was really nice, but whenever you want to go out, they don't want to go out? That's them. Hit them up. They're probably online.
Relationship's appearance on Facebook is more valuable than the foundation that it's actually built on. Our idea of standing up for something we believe in means going on Facebook and posting a status with your opinion. And we believe the number of...
All right, everybody, please pause to understand that she is attacking empty straw man Facebook posts in a video that is an empty straw man Facebook post.
Followers we have reflects who we are as a person. We don't respect our elders. We don't even respect our country. We're stepping on our flag instead of stepping up to volunteer. And we mock the men and women that are fighting for us, but we praise the people that are fighting each other, guys. We're more...
I don't even know who this is. We mock the men and women. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I respect the troops. I love the troops. I think the troops are great. I know a lot of service people personally. I honor and respect their sacrifice. I think many of them came back not only world weary for having done it, for which I thank them, and many of them came out better men. I know that they know people that didn't come back, and I honor their sacrifice. But I have no idea who you're talking about when we say that we celebrate those who fight each other. Like, you're talking about people who have civil disagreements, and I don't mean civil as in that they keep it nice. I mean civil as in we are all just in the same civilization. Like, is it people who disagree with each other on culture, religion, politics? Because last I heard, that was kind of the point of this goddamn country, is that we were able to have these conversations. In fact, it's the reason why these other people go out there and protect this culture. All right, we're going to keep going.
Divided as a country, the number four. And I think our generation actually has a lot to do with that. Everything that used to be...
Okay, this is my first... All right, I'm going to... Trigger warning for me. Keep that in mind, because this is one of the bricks that I want to build in my gigantic castle and then push over onto this argument.
frowned upon is now celebrated. Nothing has value in our generation because we take advantage of everything. We have more opportunities to succeed than any of those before us, yet we don't appreciate the opportunities we have now. Now I guess I see why people call us Generation Y. Like, why are we so entitled?
It's because it came after X. And Generation X was the last generation that really just got a wholesale two fistfuls of dog crap from the generation before it. They were called the baby boomers. And the baby boomers got their crap from the greatest generation. Do you see what's happening here? Every generation before the generation that is there gets crapped on by the last one. Because it wasn't like it was when I was growing up. And you want to know why? Well, too bad. I'll tell you after you're done talking.
Because we don't deserve to be, and we were raised better than this. I think that our generation, I always wonder what we're going to be remembered by. And I, for one, want to break that stereotype and prove that my parents raised me better. Don't you? To all of our elders, I'm sorry. And I do know that we were raised better. Thank you from this millennial for putting up with those and those who do not see wrong in their actions. I hope we start pulling our pants up and actually can contribute.
Pulling our pants up? Skinny jeans are what it's in now. It was my generation that had their pants on their ass. Stop stealing my generation's ample foibles.
...to the society we love. And maybe make a difference in 2016 so that we can make a difference in the future.
All right.
I think...
Shut up. Let's just go to that so we can just, we'll just switch in between that and then her gigantic face. If you're not watching this on YouTube, then please enjoy some of the visuals when you get a chance. So here's my biggest thing, and this is why this video just stuck in my craw. Every generation hates the generation that comes after it. Like I said before, millennials get crap from Generation X. Generation X got crap from the baby boomers. The baby boomers got crap from the greatest generation. They are all separated by a almost eerie, like 15 to 20 years. And every single one of them decides to put a name on the other one and start yelling and screaming. Why? 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 It's not because one's better than the other. I'll tell you that. Because if anything, the millennials have the larger burden of proof because they have had to live their entire life in public and trackable by way of social media. They have had to, I mean, when I was growing up, all I had was an AIM. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing the sites that I went to when I was a kid. I was Dr. Funk 02 on AIM. My Facebook page is embarrassing. It's embarrassing what I was into. It's embarrassing how I looked. It's embarrassing what I thought was cool. And yet every kid has to do that now. It is de rigueur. So I salute millennials. I think that you guys have a burden on you that no other generation has had. But here's the secret. And here's why. If the generation before you hates you, that's how you know it's working. Operative it in this is our civilization. The technological advances that have come along in our lifetime are staggering. If you look at how people lived between 1400 and 1600, not a ton of technological advances. The differences between those 200 years are meh. All right. Like, you know, it's kind of the same. Now, from 1900, when we had a president die at a World's Fair from being shot, to 2016, that 116 years have been staggering. The idea that commercial flight, I'm going to get on a flight tomorrow evening and go from San Francisco to New Orleans, and it was like that. I ordered it off my phone. How many times has that happened? Not a lot, because we just kind of got a usable United app. My larger point is that every generation should seem alien to the generation before it, because that means we are moving at a momentum and a velocity that is exciting for our larger civilization. It means that we are striving, we are achieving, we are breaking barriers, we are challenging old notions, we are making everybody uncomfortable. That's great. That's awesome. And as for Alexis, you know, she seems nice, but I kind of feel like, I don't know, is there a word for Uncle Tom for ageism? Like, she's kind of an ageist Uncle Tom. And man, everybody I know that's over 50 is the one that is sharing this. Mostly white people. They love it. They love, oh, I knew it. I knew these millennials were up to something, and here they are admitting it. It's like whenever a black guy criticizes other black people, everybody runs to lift that black guy up on their shoulders and say, look, one of them said it. You are an Uncle Tom for ageism, Alexis. But I don't know. You seem nice enough. And, you know, eyebrows on fleek. We will be right back. Stop it. We will be right back with your emails. You can email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, that is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Man, we the courting train continues for the as yet not happening In Your House tour. Man, we again, if we get up to 700, I'll do the first ever trial run for an In Your House tour, where I'm going to come to one region in the country. I'm gonna do a loop. I'll do a show in somebody's house on Friday. I'll do a show in somebody's house on Saturday. I'll do a meetup on, or sorry, on Sunday. I'll do a meetup on Saturday. So let's go ahead and start it out. Man, Ohio is just now. I mean, I feel like Ohio is so excited to host the Jury In Your House tour that they're going to have to fight amongst each other. All the different Ohioan cities. Jordan writes, I wanted to add on to Ohio. If you're in Ohio during a Columbus Crew Major League Soccer match, I'll buy you a ticket and I'll buy your beers, cook you killer food at the tailgate, and transport you hither and yon. It'll change your life, brother. Thank you very much, Jordan. Tony writes, after hearing every other Ohio city called out in the last Jury show, I feel like I need to throw Toledo into the ring. Because, of course, uttering the five cities completes the Ohioan ritual chant to summon Jerry Springer in mayoral form. Or, you know, just because Toledo is only 2 hours from both those cities that you listed. Would be more than willing to give you or to have you stop by. My roommate and I are both have good recording setups and a great connection for streaming, and you're welcome to use it. We are right near some of the better bars in town, including a new arcade bar, and we've got good breweries, great restaurants, a decent casino, and if nothing else, there'll be an HTC Vive here at our place for some VR and drinking shenanigans, because those obviously must go well together. Let me know if you end up in this corner of Ohio. Oh, snap. Toledo coming hard. Peter writes, I am here to tell you the story of a house. The basement on my house would be perfect for your podcast tour. We record my friend's band in the basement, and it'd be a great place for you to podcast. Also, this house comes with a bonus, 2 tickets to a Steeler game for a person of your choosing. P.S. I have multiple computers. By the way, this is for Pittsburgh, that you'll be able to use so you don't have issues. So this would be a real heavy driving schedule, but maybe a Columbus, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, maybe that, and then I come back to Columbus. I don't know. Meanwhile, Justin writes, I give you money. Directly or indirectly, through I don't even know how many Patreons, Night Attack, Jury, Frog Band, CDNS, FSL Tonight, you better come to North Carolina. P.S. I don't really think you owe me anything more than I already receive. After all, Jury is no more my bitch than George R.R. Martin. I gladly trade value for value, and you are upholding your end of the deal quite admirably with your podcast. Still, I'm only human, and I can't help but hoping for a little extra something-something every now and again. P.P.S. That looks weird. I'm not talking about sexual favors. I'm not interested in you like that. I can acknowledge another man's physical attractiveness. I just don't swing that way. P.P.P.S. Not that I think there's anything wrong with scoring greater than zero on the old Kinsey scale. Despite being born in this bigoted governing state and raised in a conservative home, I am an extreme lefty on social issues. I just wanted to make sure you didn't misinterpret my earlier something-something remark as either A, a request for, or B, an offer of sexual intimacy, intercourse, or otherwise. My wife said that you have nice skin, though. P-P-P-P-S. Aw, jeez, I'm pretty bad at this. You just shouldn't think I was offering you my wife just so you come to North Carolina. Sure, we're in a legal union, but she absolutely retains her bodily and her bodily autonomy, and I am in no position to offer you anything. Again, check my white cis male privilege so often that I am a four postscripts in trying to make it clear that you as a creator should feel obligated to visit North Carolina just because my total Patreon bill is upwards of $25 a month. Besides, we're monogamous. P-P-P-P-P-S. I mean, I'm not just going to judge you if you're not monogamous. It's just what works for us. P-P-P-P-P-S. Oops, I didn't mean to imply you and Ashley have an open relationship. Or maybe you do. It's totally none of my business, and I don't want to know. Whatever floats your boat, since you've had an appropriate discussion and reached an agreement to both accept us as consenting adults, I'm happy if you're happy. P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-S. Sorry, this got out of hand pretty quickly. I don't expect that you made it this far, but you should know that I would love it if you came to North Carolina. I can do either Raleigh or Charlotte, maybe both, and if you're traveling on I-85 between the two, you can stop by our place in Greensboro for some iced tea, southern hospitality, and some sweet doggy style fun in the yard with Toby and Cora. Shit, fuck, goddamn, I quit. And the award for best email I've ever received goes to Justin. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for writing that in. If you want to pitch your city for the first ever Jury in Your House tour, then go ahead and send me the email, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. But Jury in the subject line, like all the other ones. Rue writes in, I've got a question for you on the show. I'd like to know more about your writing process. When you're working on a bigger project, like a novel or a novella, how much time in a day do you actually manage to force yourself to sit down and focus? How inebriated do you get before doing this, or do you save that for editing? I'd actually be kind of cool to hear about more of the Chat Realmers process and the creative endeavors. Maybe that'd be a cool show segment one day. Also, I'd love to insert a surprise. You should come to Seattle for the Jury in Your House tour. Oh, my. I mean, you can't. All right. If you like, just make it so I can keep it into one thing. You definitely tricked me because I didn't read this far into the email. But I figure you've already got enough hobos and passive aggressive a-holes in your own community. Though, if you find yourself in Seattle, you've got more and you can crash at our place if you need. Well, thank you very much, Rue. So my writing process. My writing process pretty much totally comes from my experience as a newspaper journalist, which means that I don't get drunk or high when writing, and I don't get drunk or high while editing. So how much do I sit down? You know, I found that, you know, just giving myself hard deadlines and saying, not necessarily time-based, but rather word count-based, that I need to get blank out of myself by this. And this is, to be fair, it's not something that I've done recently, you know. I wrote the Santa book, and I think I just wanted to bang out like one draft a day, and then I would work on stuff. You know, so I think this is a personal thing. Andrew's very much of the idea that you just need to wake up and do it every day, or at least understand that it is something that you do every day, and it shouldn't feel like it's something odd. You should be able to sit down and write. And either write what you need to write or write for fun, but you write every day. Every single day you sit down and you do it. And that's something that I have not done, but, you know, I think I would hope to do it sometime soon. Again, you can give us a email, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Of course, you can find our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other stuff. Give us a rate, a review, a subscribe, a comment, tell a friend. Remember, the only way that this particular show grows is if you let your friends know that you laughed really, really hard or you thought something awesome after listening to this show. please share it with your friends and family. Email me at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, Twitter and Instagram at justinryoung, hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. And ladies and gentlemen, should you find yourself at the end of your rope, should you find yourself having to deal with awful clipping situations, are you dealing with being an apologist for your generation? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is your friend Justin Robert Young, and I am telling you to please don't.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.